Good morning and welcome to Brass Axe Sunday, a program where we focus on a topic of the week, where we bring in the experts, bring in those in the know to bring the facts, to contend with the opinions. Today is no different. Today we have in studio two dynamic guests, two knowledgeable guests. Today is a day I get to sit back, relax, and let the guests take the program and bring the education to you. Today, we are talking with Crime Stoppers Barbados. Joining me in studio, we have chairman of the board. You may know him from a different dispensation as top cop at the Royal Barbados Police Force. You may even know him as head of campus security at University of the West Indies. But today he is in the chair and on the air as chairman of Crime Stoppers. Good morning and welcome, Mr. Oral Reed.
Very good morning to you. Very good morning to the listeners.
Mm-hmm. Okay, joining him in studio, we have one of the counselors. As I said, a very dynamic young man. I am proud to call him Frame. Counselor with the Cool Your Head program with Crime Stoppers. Good morning and welcome back to the studio, Mr. Imran Richards.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having us.
All right. Their introductions and how they sound have nothing to do with how the program will be today. You know, as soon as they warm up, we are going to be hitting the road running. But I think this is a very timely program as we have these spikes of crime and then we start to discuss it. And I always say, what about the prevention? What about stopping crime before it actually happens and what it is that the average citizen can do? Many of us on the outside believe that the whole idea of fighting and preventing crime is the sole responsibility of the police. And I always warn my police friends, please, do not take all the credit for when there is a drop in crime, because when there is a spike in crime, equally that blame will be placed upon you. And people always ask, where is the police? Where are the police? Where is the Attorney General when there is spikes within crime? And I ask, no. Where is the Minister of Youth? Where is the Minister of Community Development? Where are Crime Stoppers? Where are the other NGOs and community-based organizations in preventing that? So with that said, I want to turn to you, Mr. O'Reed, and basically ask you to explain to the listening public what it is you would like to get from this program today, what it is you would like to leave listeners with.
Thank you very much again, Corey. But certainly I would like that, as a result of this program, we are in a position to better understand what is the mission, what is the mandate of Crime Stoppers Barbados, what we hope to achieve by our efforts, and that by the end of the program, persons would understand why it is important that we all seek to work together in order to address matters of crime in Barbados.
Okay, excellent. Mr. Imran Richards, the Cool Your Head program in the schools. I'm sure you have a wealth of information in terms of working with these young people when we look at it within the context of the recent shooting out Yorkshire, when we look at the context about 6-7 young males being remanded. I think they got bail just about 2 days ago. And these are the sort of things that get people talking. But as you would know, it has to be an ongoing process. So tell us about the Cool Your Head program.
Yeah, sure. So the Cool Your Head program is an initiative of the Crime Stoppers Barbados organization. It is sponsored or has been sponsored from its inception by Sandy Lane Charitable Trust. And so we are very grateful to them for their continued support. The focus of the program is to help with a level of intervention that is preventative in nature, which seeks to give young people or arm them with some of the skills necessary to be able to manage their anger and deal with issues of conflict in a more productive way that doesn't result in fighting and cursing, the stuff that we usually see on the Facebook videos, the social media, and so forth, which kind of leave many of our young people then wrestling with issues of self-control or lack thereof. So the program really seeks, it's over a four-week period, class by class. So we seek to touch every single individual, every single student in the school on a weekly basis. And we go for 4 weeks with each class, just connecting them. Now we cover, first of all, choices and how your choices impact on your life and the life of those around you. The second session looks more closely at the issue of anger, its impact on your body, its impact on your mind, where those behaviors and patterns of behaviors in relation to dealing with anger come from, such as family environment and so forth. What are some of the contributing factors to how we deal and manage anger? And then the third program looks specifically at conflict and conflict management, and then seeks to give young people some alternatives of how can we handle situations of conflict when they arise. Not if they arise, but when they arise. And so we do a bit of role playing. We do a bit of class discussion. Sessions are very interactive, very energetic. Young people are really engaged during that period of time. And then the fourth session, we tie it all together. We also do a survey, a questionnaire, right at the beginning of our session. And we use that survey to kind of track and have an idea of what young people think about anger, about their choices related to anger, how they deal with conflict. And some of the information coming out of that is usually very startling, to be honest. So that is the program in a nutshell. We've been now in almost every secondary school, I think, maybe barring like one or two, but we've been almost in every secondary school. And in September, we are going to be launching a program specifically for primary school students, because as we've seen, we realize that the issue of anger, violence and so forth, that it doesn't start at secondary school, but we are seeing it starting a lot earlier now. And so we're tackling the primary school, and we're partnering with UNICEF in relation to that project.
Sounds pretty good. So sounds comprehensive. No, that is just but one problem, one program. Mr. Reed, tell us about some of the other programs that Crime Stopper Barbados has out there.
I think from the outset, Corey, what we recognized was that matters of crime is really an issue which transcends what the police can do. What we recognize from our inception in 2009 was that there was a need for a non-governmental organization with a mission to provide that forum through which persons can give and share information about what is happening in their communities. We recognize that in a number of cases, persons seem a bit reluctant to climb the steps of a police station to go and make a report about matters that are affecting them in their communities, and in some instances, in most instances, also in their homes. And as a result of that, we thought that we would create this anonymous facility, this facility which would allow a person to call the 1-800 number and to share information about crime. Now, additionally, we also recognize that in our society, we are presented not only with matters of violence, not only with issues of domestic violence, not only with child abuse and abuse against elderly in the community, but that children who were growing up in those kind of environments were seeing a form of behavior which we were identifying presenting itself in schools and also in the workplace and in the wider community. And hence, you now hear of the Cool Your Head program and the Cool Kids program, which again is based on a collaboration. But we do have a number of other programs which seek to provide support for persons who are working in businesses, persons who are from the community. And there are a number of other programs which have not yet started, which we are now looking at, which would seek to address the needs of persons who, what happens to those individuals after they are released from custodial institutions? Who provide the gap of support for those individuals who may leave a custodial institution with the intention of going and traveling the straight and narrow, but then because they return to the same society, return to the same conditions which would have contributed to their behavior in the first instance, then they recommit offenses. And we believe that through that program that we are looking at, and I hope that we have time to discuss that fully today. Additionally, we are also looking at a program called Mature Citizens in the Community. Again, this morning I will be talking about this for the first time. And it is where we believe that persons who are mature citizens, some of whom have returned from overseas to live in Barbados, ought to be able to live in their respective homes in a safe environment. So how do we create that, though? And this is something that can't be done by the Attorney General. It can't be done by the police. This is something that must be constructed by the community with the assurance and to provide that kind of environment, but only if we had active neighborhood watches, neighborhood programs. I have grown to dislike the whole term of neighborhood watches. I always talk now about community action groups because I think there's more utility to having an organization of that type.
Instead of a peeping group.
Yeah, yes.
That's Sunday exclusive, people. You heard it here first. Right. So in terms of this mature person program and so on, how do you expect, how do you see it rolling out? What are some of the things you think that will come out of an initiative like this?
So what we hope is that members of the community would see as a part of their responsibility by policing, looking after what persons who are vulnerable within the communities. There's a spin-off from this for persons who are physically challenged, but persons who are of mature age ought to be in a position to identify with a person who lives next door. You know this is going to be a problem in this community. Because over time, a person's only know each other by the number of the car that they are driving, or the house at which they live. Mm-hmm. But seldom people know of names of individuals. And I think that once we return to that program, and these are all tenants of the community action groups. I don't want to call the other name. These are all tenants of the community action group. And where you were supposed to develop a caring community. Right. We are never going to get back that close-knit extended family with granny living at the bottom of the gap and auntie living next door. That's not going to come back because we are now into heights and terraces. Mm-hmm. Persons are dispersed over communities, oftentimes in areas where they didn't grow up. Mm-hmm. And so
you have no connection to that community.
Of course. Mm-hmm. You've thrown a number of people together, but no one has sought to put together a mechanism through which you can get people to come together, to identify with each other, and to work together to provide a safe communities.
Well, let me laud Crime Stopper Barbados in advance, because you're taking on a mammoth task is actually bringing back that community spirit that people have been talking about for eons now. And I think through the community action programs or projects, and I have no difficulty calling it that, because I think, as you said, it kind of gives it a one step up from the whole idea of a neighborhood watch. Yeah. And that can actually help to bring back. I've seen that through one of the projects, the environmental projects of recycling in some neighborhoods, they have these recycle groups where they compost together, where they put the recyclables together and call one of the agencies that come and collect. And I said, well, if we can do it on that level, why can't we expand it to what you're talking about?
Right. You see, so this is a point in our history when we are looking for innovative ideas and moving and advancing and to look to see how we can think. But this is really an issue. Mm-hmm. We have brought people together from various communities in Barbados. They are now living in residential communities, and no effort at all was made to construct a mechanism through which persons can identify.
I'd love to give an example, because just yesterday in the community that I live, a young lady who lives with her mom, when she was just coming out early in the morning, a gentleman ran, snatched her keys and her bike. And a couple of the folks thought it necessary to develop a community group, a WhatsApp chat. And so in no time, there was an alert sent out in the WhatsApp chat. And some of the guys from the community then came out and began to chase this gentleman, and the police got involved and so forth. And so they were able to take quick action as a result of that, you know, just a simple WhatsApp group that allowed neighbors to be able to alert each other of any suspicious activity. So I feel like something like this has significant merit in that regard.
I like that, because, you know, they say that social media actually has prevented people from being social. And I feel as though some people will be more comfortable having a WhatsApp group with the community than actually going and socializing with the community. It's real funny, right? But that's the day and age that we live in today. So I can actually see that being effective, and I can see people listening to this program now and going around in their various communities and starting these WhatsApp groups, you know, and pinpointing, you know, strange looking people, strange looking cars within the community, and can help to prevent and stop some crime. I want to put two major points in relation to where I believe your work would be pretty difficult, and see how you all are dealing with it. In the meantime, I want to let you know that this is Brass Tacks Sunday. You can give us a call, 434-1790. And you can give us a message on the WhatsApp, 266-IVOB. That's 266-4862. And the two things I want to talk about before we take a quick break, and that is this whole idea of anonymous information. And if we live in a society about stitches for snitches, and I ain't being no snitch and so on, I want to know how in the schools in particular, how what you're seeing, and generally on the Crime Stopper line. Because people have this idea, I am no snitch. I did not see who me, not me, according to the song, you know? So, we come out of that. And the other thing is, I think a major problem, I think this may be a little controversial, but I will not back away about it because I am talking from experience and from working with other persons' experiences. I think one of the major proponents of crime in Barbados, beyond things like poverty and other social ills and so on, is the fact of the police. And the fact that people feel as though when they report things to the police, it is not taken serious, it's not acted swiftly, and therefore they feel they need to take matters into their own hands. That is something that I've worked with people in the streets, people I've worked with in prison and so on. They believe as though justice is not being served, it's not being served swiftly, and therefore I need to take action. Now, that may be a point of television, you know, on TV, matters are solved within, you know, 2 hours or 30 minutes. And I think people have that mistaken notion. But I want to discuss these things on this Brass Tack Sunday, brought to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. For business surprise.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form play for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
You're listening to Brass Tack Sunday. We're talking Crime Stoppers Barbados with Mr. Earl Reed, Chairman of Crime Stopper Barbados, and Counselor with Cooley High Program with Crime Stoppers, Imran Richards. Now, gentlemen, let's deal with these snitches and stitches first in terms of getting information. Imran, let's start with you in terms of the schools.
So I'll speak to it just from just the student interaction that I've had. And one of the things that we keep coming across every single time we do it, and we do it on purpose, whenever we go into a class, whenever it comes point to talk about reporting issues in school, reporting criminal activity, etc., we start at the level of the teachers. And a lot of students say, sir, I don't trust teachers. Teachers don't do nothing. Problems don't. So everything you said just now related to police is exactly how students view teachers. And I think that this is a real cultural thing. The other thing is, whenever we talk about reporting crime to the police or calling the Crime Stoppers hotline, sir, don't ask me because I did not see. And the entire class begins to sing the same song at the same time. You know? And I think this for me is just a huge indicator of the power of culture, how music has a significant influence on the lives of our young people, and how many of them are being parented by social media. They're being parented by the music that they listen to, and so they subscribe to popular thinking. So whatever is the trend at the time, that is what many of our young people go with. And the reality is that the issue is not one of lack of information. The issue is not one of ignorance, because many of them know that reporting suspicious criminal activity or anything of that nature is the right thing to do. It is a matter of emphasis. What they have been hearing more often, the thing that they are hearing more consistently, is usually the thing that takes root. And so for us, whenever we start to break down and unpack the wisdom in being able to utilize and leverage the resources of the police and so forth, and not take matters into your own hands, the benefits as well as the consequences of refusing to do so, most of those young people then begin to respond positively. Right, and so I think we have an uphill battle because how do we move this generation that has never that this is the first generation that doesn't require anyone to teach them anything. You know, they don't need they don't need their parents, like, so like Google, etc. Those things are readily present and available, so they have knowledge. But how do we move them from where they are currently at in terms of their thought process relating to violence, related to anger and so forth? How do we move them from there to being able to make responsible decisions as a part of their culture? So I think the conversation has to move from just education and providing information to changing and addressing the culture. I think that's where we need to go.
Okay.
My challenge is that culture and education are so interwoven. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, that is the challenge I see for educating members of the community with regard to making that decision to make a call or to report it to the authority. I think what we should recognize is that the conditions under which when persons are asked to make these kind of decisions is a very stressful one. Mm. Because this thing has happened in your view, and you now have to decide whether you should intervene. Mm-hmm. Second consideration is whether you should report it to a person in position of authority, notwithstanding what you just said about the teachers and the perception of the teachers and the police. Mm-hmm. And the third consideration is whether you shouldn't do anything at all. But we find that generally people have a reluctance to make that decision, as I mentioned, in one or two. Should I intervene? Mm-hmm. I think on the point of intervention requires persons to understand that if they do not intervene, then the community, whether it is the community within the school setting or the community where you live and your family live, could suffer as a consequence. Mm-hmm. And those individuals who continue to perpetrate and to present with that kind of behavior will eventually get away, would not be brought to justice, or should I say, brought to account for their actions. And I think it is within that that we need to find a solution. I don't have it right now. I know from a Crime Stoppers perspective that it is important for persons to call and to report it to the authorities. But I'm open to creative ideas mm-hmm. as to how we need to tackle this problem, because I think it is one that is real. It includes not only children, but their parents.
Yeah.
And it is about what we put into what we can broadcast in terms of songs mm-hmm. and so on. Mm-hmm. And we are living in a culture where there's freedom of speech and persons ought to communicate, mm-hmm. and it creates a very difficult
artistic license.
Yes. Let me also say, Corey, that there is a significant fear, at least from what I've come across in the school, associated with snitching. Mm-hmm. You know, in their minds, as they put it, you know, there is a fear of retaliation of if somebody finds out that this is me, you know, and that I was the person who did it, I could lose my life, you know. And so for many of those young people, I don't think that is something that they're just repeating. I think for them, that fear is real.
It's a reality.
Right? Mm-hmm. The second thing is, in many communities, there is this idea, or there's that very present reality that some of these guys who may contravene the laws of the land are those same individuals who protect the community, who help to provide for the community. Mm-hmm. And therefore, for me to share information about something that I may have seen or witnessed them or their team members do, that would be me betraying a family member. Mm-hmm. That would be me betraying somebody who's responsible for helping me to get school or for organizing the community football game, you know? And so mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to do that. And so those are two things that we've also come across that I think are worth mentioning. But again, I think as Mr. Reed suggested, I am not quite sure that many of the young people understand the far-reaching consequences mm-hmm. of their choices of to not act, to not report, to not share. Mm-hmm.
And it is not really just the young people.
Of course.
It is adults as well, mm-hmm. who, although they have heard of the 1-800-8477 number, are still not using it. Mm-hmm. And you see, that provides the tool through which you can make that call anonymously.
Mm-hmm.
Calls are answered in Canada. Mm-hmm. Information is filtered back to us, and then we are able to take that information and have it properly investigated and dealt with.
What would be interesting is to look at the trends and see if, I don't know if you have the statistics here with you, but to see how the calls and response been coming in. Because I match that again with the whole thing of the teachers, and students do say to me, you know, when I go and report, the danger is that the bully comes back at me 10 times as hard. And I think that that's where the system, whether it be the school or it be the police, come back at that person 20 times as hard. And that's how I think you'd be able to prevent and stop these persons from taking over the school environment or the community environment.
I really don't think there's any evidence of persons who have called the 1-800-8477 number. And that they have been confronted by an individual subsequently.
I didn't mean with that. Cause I know that that's totally anonymous.
Yes.
But let's go over to the telephone lines and then I'm going to come back. I got some interesting messages and challenges here for you guys already, but we will deal with that after this call. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, listen. I want, Corey, this for you especially, I want you all, gentlemen, to continue to encourage the peeping group. Because without those peeping groups, right, it's got to start there. Listen, what we call peeping groups are people will consider as people who go behind the blind and pull it. But sometimes you don't have to pull your blind to peep. But when certain things are happening, the type of windows or the type of blinds that you have, you can stare right and look and you can notice certain things. And I'm telling why I would like you all to do something to encourage them also, a person who are listening to this. They can alleviate a lot of these things that y'all are speaking about and help assist in some of these savory things that are happening. And the only thing that some of them are scared to call. Some of them are scared because they aren't too sure what's going to happen. So it's for you all to find a way to try to convince a lot of these persons. Now, I am saying that because I know of certain persons, a good set call, it was a group of us, who know a lot of things, but they were scared. Yes, as the gentleman just said, sometimes it could be persons in the community, family members, etc., people who come back, you know, from spending some time, whatever. But they continue to do certain things, but they are so scared to try to get, you know, the right information to the right persons to help their own self where they live. So I love what you all are trying to do, and I know it's a very hard battle because the same everything you were speaking about, it's like these songs and tunes that come. Whenever you find something is trying to go to assist the police, you hear sounds like Informer Must Die, these type of tunes. Mm-hmm. That's what the gentleman was speaking about. So when these children or half-grown adults hear them, even the adults, and then they hear certain things that what have happened to certain people that have contributed or they think have contributed to solve certain crimes. Yes, there is a backlash from some people. May not be necessary directly involved in it, but the person may think that it may be this person and something may have happened to that person. So you all got a real hard battle, and I would appreciate it if you all would come a little more regularly on some program, something to try to push away, as I would say, the scare tactics, the type of tuning, the type of songs that we'll bring to try to discourage from the youngsters to the great old grandfathers and mothers that would love to assist you all to get rid of some of these things that are happening in our land.
I want to ask you this question, though. Do you have anything to add to any of these suggestions that we have in terms of encouraging people? Number one, we talk about being civic-minded and doing it for the community, your country. There's the financial incentive through programs like Crime Stoppers still, right?
Yes.
There's the financial. There's the WIIFM, what's in it for me in terms of I not being the next person, I not being the next victim. And you mentioned one just now in terms of the music. We can control that, obviously, in the mainstream media, probably with things like the broadcast authority doing their job. It'd be hard to do across social media.
Correct.
Or with the broadcast authority. No, those are four things that we can consider. Is there any other that you can think of?
Well, this one was said to those four, all four of them. If you all understand how we as human beings really think, and when fear strikes you pertaining to what can happen, that's the best answer I can give to you. And if you all can alleviate that somehow by putting some sort of program in place, y'all are on your way. But I cannot suggest none of those things would happen unless you can convince the persons to do it.
And a final question. You and I, we clash sometime back in terms of recidivism and your thoughts of what should happen. I want to know if you want to discuss, because one of the programs that Crime Stoppers Barbados is really looking at is working with those coming out and stopping them from going back in. And I know you have very, very serious and strong views on this.
Since then, I have spoken to you. I have learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I have really got a lot of different information. And even, well, as let's say out of 100, you can't save all 100, you can't get all 100% out of what you're trying to do with persons, but you can save some, even if it's 6 out of the 100. Mm-hmm. So I would say that if you start with 6 and you find you can save 6, because as I said, I didn't realize a lot of things that was really going on. I was really binned out on all the guys and ladies all the time. And then I get to realize there's certain situations that a lot of them would go back into, as the gentleman said also too, that would help them to, what you would say, a return to their old ways. And if you can get those type of things put in place, that what you have been trying to do, Corey, and other persons, other groups also, and if you all can continue to get more groups or persons or people involved in this type of thing, you may be able to save a lot more.
Right. So as yes, you say, Cam, may not be able to save all, but the more you save, the better.
Yes, correct.
Even for our pockets, because it takes a lot of money to keep them maintained there at Her Majesty's pleasure. Anyhow.
Okay, thank you very much.
Now, thank you very much. Now, I want to go on to the second thing. And funny enough, I have two messages here.
Go ahead. Because I think the point that came through really strong is just really addressing that fear of reporting. And I think it is important for us as Crime Stoppers to just really assure the public that our 1-800 number is safe. It is secure, and we make it a point to ensure that all of those reports are investigated, the information is passed on to the police, and you as the caller remain anonymous. And I think that one of the things that we are being challenged today is to ensure that our voice is just as loud as the artist. You know, make sure that we are just as present and as consistent as them, whether it be in social media, so whether that be creating some type of social media
campaign, and as creative as them as well,
and so that is one of the things that I think that I am hearing, especially just in agreement with Oro, that as that information changes people's perspectives, you know, and once they're armed with that relevant information, then they're able to make better or different choices. And
I just want to make a point as well with regard to the use of social media. I think there's some utility, some usefulness when it comes to reporting situations. Now, what we have seen very often on social media is that persons, rather than intervening, and we see it all the time with the children fighting at schools, rather than intervening to stop the fight, will record it and then put it on social media.
And cheer on too.